Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, brand new Maseches, Masechta Bechoris. Bechoris plural because it covers three types of, three categories of Bechor. We have the Bechor Adam, the firstborn male who has to be redeemed with the five Sloim. To the Kayin, we have Bechor Behema Tahira, so a firstborn kosher animal, which is considered a carbon given to the Kayin and processed as a carbon. If it gets blemished, he doesn't apply it as a carbon, but it's still his possession. And thirdly, which is actually the category of Bechor, which we will begin with our Masechta, that is the Bechor of a donkey. And the Medrash says it's because they helped us out of Mitzrayim, right? They helped us carry all the belongings. Hence, they were Zeiche. So it's the first born donkey which has Kedusha, called Peter Chamar. Peter means he exited the mother's womb, the first one. So the first Chamar has Kedusha to the extent you have to redeem it using a seh, right, a sheep, and or another, you know, so you redeem it and give that to the Kayin. Otherwise, the owner is penalized, he has to behead, kill the Chamar. Now, this only applies if it's Jewish owned, but if there is a guy who has ownership on either the mother donkey or the offspring, whereas we're going to see, according to the Chachamim, even an element, an aspect of ownership. So even a partnership with a guy exempts the donkey from Pidyon Peter Chamar, says the Mishnah. Here come five examples of exemption due to the involvement of a guy. Halakeach Ubar Chamar Shalavid Kichavim. One purchases an Ubar, unborn donkey, of a guy's Chamar. So he's not buying the actual mother donkey, rather the unborn Ubar, it's exempt from Pidyon Peter Chamar because, as we said, in this case the mother is owned by the guy. V'amoicher loy, or in the reverse, he sells the Ubar of his own donkey to the guy. Afal b'sheni rashai, even though that's not really allowed. So no, Rashi brings it to Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Not meant to sell heavy animals to a guy. Rashi actually brings the reason is because because the guy will work with it on Shabbos, so he's sort of depriving his animal from resting on Shabbos, which is exclusively applicable to a Jewish-owned animal. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah actually adds more reasons. One reason is gzeira mishum she'ela. There's a concern that, yeah, this time you're selling it to him, but next time you might, you know, loan him an animal, and the guy will take it and work with it on Shabbos, which is not allowed because it's a Jewish-owned animal. One must rest on Shabbos with his family and his animals. So in any case, it's not allowed. But he did it anyways. So with respect to halacha of Bechor, the donkey is exempt from the halacha. Another example, b'hamishtatev loy, he partners with a guy, so they pooled resources and they bought a donkey from a kabel heimenu. Case number four, he was makabel from the guy. Kabbalah relates to an interesting arrangement where a person arranges with a guy to be the caretaker, to raise the animal, look after it, and to split the profits, to split the offspring, right, 50-50. So in this case, makabel hey menu, the yid was on the receiving end of this kabbalah arrangement on the guy's donkey. So the mother donkey is owned by the guy completely, and the offspring is 50-50. So since there's an aspect of guy ownership, it's exempt. And finally, case number five, anaisen loy b'kabbalah. In this case, the guy was on the receiving end of this kabbalah arrangement. He's going to be looking after the Jewish-owned mother donkey, and will split the profits, the offspring. So in all these cases, due to the guy's involvement, due to the guy's aspect of ownership, Pater ma bechera, it's exempt from halacha bechor. Okay, so in the first case is, let's say, the Ubar was a firstborn, pater, etc. How do we know? Shenemar, be Israel. The pasuk says, "Ki hikdashti li kol b'char b'Yisrael." All the b'char amongst Yisrael have kedusha, b'Yisrael, avaloi, but not amongst the goyim ba'achir. Now, why does the Mishnah need to cite, you know, five cases, five examples of exemptions due to the same underlying reason, due to the goy's involvement? Kol hani lamali. What's the point of all five cases? Trichi, each one carries a lesson. Let's go down the list one by one. Itan alekeach, had we only mentioned that first case where he purchased from the goyab. I mean, I would say, yeah, this case we can exempt the Jew from the obligation of Bechor. Mishum de kamaisil of the Kedusha, because no reason to penalize him. After all, if anything, he's importing the goy's belongings into Kedusha. He's not going to work with it on Shabbos, right? So actually, it's a mitzvah, it's a good, it's a great deed. No reason to penalize the Yisrael, and we allow him this exemption from Bechor. Aval Moichaber, in the second case where he's turning around and selling the animal to a goy, the kamafkal and Kedusha, because since he's depriving it of Kedusha, the opportunity to rest on Shabbos, Ema Lichtin say, perhaps we should penalize the Yisrael and obligate him in the Chiyuv of Petr Chamor, Kamash Malon. Says the Mishnah, it's not so. Third case, what's the point of mentioning a partnership, which is really just another variation of ownership? Lafakum der Yehuda, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, the Amar Shutfus of Gicham Chayvus Bechor, even if the guy is a partner, part ownership does not exempt from Bechor. Kamash Malon, comes the Mishnah, teaches us that the opinion of the Mishnah and the Chachamim is that, in fact, even a partnership, a limited ownership, is also a reason to exempt the Pturim and Abchir. Case number four, Amakabal, why mention Amakabal? When he is on the receiving end of the Kabbalah arrangement from the Goy. The point is, on account of the next case, where it's the Yid giving the Goy his donkey to look after and to raise and to split the profits, that's why we mentioned case number four, on account of case number five. No, and what's the point of case number five? What's the point of that case? Istrich. It's meant to highlight another aspect of this halacha. Why? Perhaps I would say, since in this case, in reality, who owns the actual animal, the mother animal? The Yisrael, the Jew, right? It's only sort of on loan to the guy to look after it, to raise the offspring and split the profits. So if we exempt the offspring from Bechor, people might misunderstand and confuse it with a regular Jewish-owned animal. They'll say, well, if this animal is exempt, likewise any Jewish-owned animal. Look and say we should penalize him and obligate him in Bechor to avoid confusion. Dilma, perhaps, Osi Lachlufi, people might confuse and mix it up with another Jewish owned animal and say, well, that would be exempt from Bechor as well. Right? They'll say, well, you're exempting the offspring of this animal, even though it's Jewish owned. So they'll just, do away with the whole concept of Bechor. Not realizing, of course, this case is different because the Goy has, rights on 50% of the offspring, so he's a part owner. They won't, make that distinction. So there's room to penalize and to actually apply the Chiyuv of Bechor even to this case. Kamash Malon comes to Mishnah and says, no, after all, the Goy has part ownership, he's potter. Okay, so in a nutshell, from the pasuk b'Yisrael, we learn to exempt achirim, donkey owned by a goy, whether he has ownership in the mother or in the offspring, full ownership, part ownership, as demonstrated in these five cases. Nanhas, we shift over to Mishnah, actually Maseches Avodah Zarah, where it states that one may not sell a heavy animal to a goy for the reasons we mentioned, but there are some exceptions. Rabbi Yehuda Mater B'Shvura, he says if the animal's broken, his legs are broken, it's injured, it can't really work anyways. So he'd like to sell it to a goy. But Maseir Mater B'Sus, Maseir allows selling a horse to a goy, which is anyways not engaged in biblical, work, meaning Melacha D'Oraisa, at most he's meant, for riders, to carry people, which even if done on Shabbos, Rashi explains, technically, there's no malacha because when a person rides on a horse, he's not really considered a load. It's not like the horse is carrying a load because we have the halacha chay noisias atzma. A living person lifts himself, makes himself a bit lighter. So it's not like an ordinary load. In which case, when you're selling it to a goy, at worst, even if he rides it on Shabbos. He's not really doing a melacha d'oraisa, and the horse is not engaged in melacha d'oraisa. So we make an exception. You're allowed to do that, although you don't sell him a regular animal who's engaged in ordinary melachas on Shabbos. Okay, so typically we don't sell animals to a goy. Rabbi Yehuda makes an exception for an injured animal, but Maseir makes an exception for a horse. Next question. What about an ubar? As per the case in our Mishnah, can you sell a goy an ubar? You have a donkey at home, selling him the rights to the offspring, the unborn donkey inside. Ibailu, ubar mali om Rabbi Yehuda. What would Rabbi Yehuda's opinion be regarding selling him an ubar? It's not a working animal, not yet at least. No. Should we compare it to the injured animal, which he's allowed to sell, or not? Time of the Rabbi Yehuda Hassan, the Shari. Rabbi Yehuda's reason to allow the sale of an injured animal, Mishum de Shvura, because it's injured and it can't work. So the issue of Shabbos work is not applicable. Over Nami Shavaru, likewise by the Uber in its current state. It's not doing any work, so it should be allowed to be sold. Idilma, or you can say no. Shavura lav hanu urche. It's not common to have it's not standard to have an injured animal. The injured animal is not standard status, not standard condition. Therefore, says Rashi, it's a dvar chidushu. It's something of an anomaly. People realize it's different. And by allowing this, it's not going to come. People will not come to confuse it with a regular animal and allow selling an ordinary animal. They realize this is an exception. Aval ubar, but by the unborn donkey, keeping the hainu urche, it's standard procedure, right? There's nothing unusual about it, it's just unborn. If you allow this, people will now confuse it with a regular animal, allow sale of any animal. Lava shovel, it's not broke, it's not injured, nothing inherently wrong with it, so perhaps we should not make exception for the ubar. That's the question. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, injured animal you can sell. What about an ubar? Toshma, here comes a raya from Ahal Mishnah. He sold the ubar, right, to the guy. Even though it's not loud, still exempt from Bechor. We don't find Rabbi Yehuda taking issue with that objection to the sale, as expressed in the Mishnah. Seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not allowed, even though it's an Uber. Well, Tamecha, according to your asking, according to your train of thought, let's proceed to the next case in the Mishnah, Shtatafloy, by Makabal Mimenu, Manoslim Bekabalo. I had the last three cases, which entail some sort of partnership with a guy, which the Mishnah exempt from Bachar, which is in opposition to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. As alluded to before, Rabbi Yehuda says, unless the guy is a complete and total owner, right? Partial ownership does not exempt. So why does Rabbi Yehuda take objection to the halacha with the like Tani? There's no mention of Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with the exemption. Are you going to tell me Rabbi Yehuda agrees? He doesn't oppose the halacha? Of course he does. It's an established fact. According to Rabbi Yehuda, partial ownership does not exempt. Ela Polag, like Tani. Inevitably, you have to say all the Rabbi Yehuda does disagree with the halacha, but for some reason it's not mentioned outright in the Mishnah. Chanami, Polig like Tani. Likewise, identically, we can say regarding the first point in the Mishnah, where it states that selling an Uber to a goy is not allowed. Perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, despite the fact that his name is not mentioned in the Mishnah. So you can't really conclude one way or the other. Tashmai comes another attempt at a raya regarding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of selling an Uber of a donkey to a goy. Toshma, Rabbi Yehuda Aymar Makabal Behemim Rabbi Gechavim. Okay, so here's Rabbi Yehuda's position that even if it's partially owned by a goy, you're not exempt. Okay, so a person is on the receiving end of the Kabbalah, right? That's the arrangement where he manages the goy's animal. So he's a part owner in the offspring, him and the goy. Hamakabal Behemim Rabbi Gechavim, the animal gave birth for the first time, Mazel Tov, Mal Noise Beshavye. Doesn't exempt him. What then do? You take the firstborn donkey, you malonaisa b'shavi, you evaluate its value, and the yid is obligated to forward half of that value to the kayim. That's what he owes him for the bechor, which he's a half owner, right? V'noisa chati dam alakayim. Next case, v'noisa loy b'kabbalah. Suppose it's in reverse. Yisrael gave his donkey to the goy, and the goy is on the receiving end of the Kabbalah arrangement. So the animal is still owned by the yid, but the offspring will be split accordingly. Aval b'she'en rasha, even though it's a no-no, you're not allowed to transfer your animals to a goy. Okay? So what's the result? Now we have a firstborn donkey. Koyin sem moisa, the sarba damav. V'noisin kol damav l'koyin. He has to buy it back. Even if it costs him 10 times as much, if the guy refuses to sell it back, he's got to offer him $100 animal, $1,000. And he has to transfer the full value of that firstborn and give it to the guy. Okay, we turn to him in base. My lava uber. Presumably, this line in the Brisa, Afal Bishin Rashai, that when he transfers his donkey to the guy's care, although it's not allowed, right? That's sort of like in parentheses, even though it's not allowed, meaning he violated, he transgressed the takan of the Chachamim. It's referring to the case of the, it's referring to the Uber. And even the Uber, the unborn donkey, may not be transferred to the Goy. So by transferring the actual Uber to the Goy, he has violated. So you see, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no exemptions and no exceptions made for the Uber. It's not treated like an injured animal, right? Like we said before. My love, Uber, loy, no, behema. This line in the Brisa, this disclaimer, i.e., it should not be done, that's going on the actual mother animal, which is a full functioning animal. How could you say that? Vadamav ketani. Damav, his value, male, that's going on the Uber, not on the mother. Mother is the meha, her. Clearly, the Brisa is alluding to the Uber. You have to offer up to 10 times its value, his value, the Uber. Tani damea. Revise it. Her value. So again, the violation is on the mother. But the Brisa clearly is referring to the Uber. It says you have to transfer his money, his value to the Kohen. Whose money? The firstborn. He's the Bechor. He's the object of discussion. Now, if the Brisa is simply referring to the mother animal, what's the Kohen doing in the picture? The mother is not a firstborn. So clearly the Brisa is alluding to the offspring here. That he did something wrong by transferring the offspring and he has to redeem it, etc. So does that shed light on our question? Whether Rabbi Yehuda allows or disallows selling the unborn animal to a goy, it would seem that it's not allowed. No, hachavavayaskinan, you know, generally, perhaps it's okay, but in this case, we're speaking going to yoivle behema ma'barta lipetum. Unlike our impression up until now, that we're dealing with a transfer of merely the Uber itself, no, we're speaking that he actually transferred an aspect of the mother animal as well, which is certainly in violation. Was speaking going to Yovel, he gave to the goy a behema ma'abart, an expectant donkey, lipetuma, to stuff it, to feed it. Rashi explains. This arrangement allows the goy to receive a portion of the shvach, of the added value of the gain, that occurred in the mother animal as well, and also in the offspring. So he's transferring part ownership of the mother as well, which is certainly in violation of the halacha, not to transfer heavy animals to a goy. So now, the migu, we apply the migu concept. Since it's one package, one bundle, the mother with the offspring, that are being transferred together, and certainly, the transfer of the mother is in violation, which deserves a punishment, deserves a knas. The migu, the kansin, le'a behema, since we penalize the Jewish owner upon transferring the behema, Uber. We also add the Uber into the mix and we apply the penalty to the Uber as well, because it's really one and the same package. So the penalty that's applied due to the violation inherent in the mother animal extends to the Uber as well, and is obligated to pay an exorbitant amount to retrieve it and transfer it to the Kohen, etc. However, suppose there was no mother in the equation. The mother was not transferred to the goy. Rather, he's merely selling an unborn donkey within the mother to the guy. That's up for discussion, whether that's allowed or not. Amar Rashi Tashmai comes the final blow, the confirmation that in fact it's Asr. Take a look at the reason behind the halacha. Amar Rashi Tashmai, Rabbi the Mata Bishvur, why does Rabbi allow transferring an injured animal to a guy? Because it can't recover and, you know, go about working on Shabbos. So he's retired from work. Retired animals, its own class. There's no room for confusion and misconception and mixing it up with regular animals. Oh, let's make a diuk. Oh, sorry. But if it's just temporarily sidelined and could potentially be recruited back into the workforce, Asar would be Asar as well. There's no exception for that. No. What about the Uber? At most, it's just a temporary condition. As soon as it's going to be born, Mazel Tov, it's going to work just like the other animals. Well, Uber, an unborn donkey, Nami, too. Kiyachal Shabbos Dami. It's like the animal that could be healed. Meaning, it's not in a class of its own. Shema Minan, therefore, we confirm from here that even Rav Yehuda, who gives him a pass regarding selling an injured animal, but it will not apply to an Uber, it's deemed like any other animal, and is included, is covered by the Isra, by the ban of selling an animal to a guy. According to our version until now, it was just a standalone question. We were wondering, what's Rav Yehuda's opinion regarding selling an Uber to a guy? Some applied the same question, but it was related to our Mishnah. Same question with the same conclusion. Because the Mishnah stated that you're not allowed to, right? He sold the Uber to the guy, and the Mishnah added in parentheses, even though it's not allowed. And the question was, perhaps our Mishnah, which disallows selling an Uber, even an Uber, unborn donkey to a guy, is not like Rabbi Yehuda, to like Rabbi Yehuda, who seems to allow it. He's not capable of working on Shabbat, it's not a Yehuda. And the answer is, you can compare. I feel the tamer of Yehuda. Yeah, the Mishnah could be in line with Rabbi Yehuda as well. This is not an injured animal. Shvuro lavani urche. A broken, injured animal, that's not the standard. So people understand it's different. There's no room for confusion. Uber hani urche, but Uber, it's a standard condition and nothing unusual about it. If you allow that sale, it will come to, people will come to sell ordinary animals. So that's the suggestion, which we're going to try to confirm it based on the sources that we had before. Is that so? Meaning, what's Rabbi's opinion regarding selling an Uber? Tashma. So it's pretty much word for word as we had learned until now. Tashma b'da'imer. We have the Braisa where he says, "I'm a kabbal him gechavim v'yalda." Right? He was makabel from the guy. Mal noisa b'shavyai v'noisa chasidam al koin. Since he's half owner on the offspring, he has to forward half the value to the coin. Second case, he transferred his donkey to the guy in a kabbalah arrangement, even though it's not really allowed. He must be willing to spend even 10 times the value to get it back and transfer the full value of the bechor to the kohen. My lava uber. Similarly, we're speaking about penalizing him for transferring the uber itself. No, we're talking about the actual mother animal. But the Mishnah, the Bryce, and using the word damav, is referring to the Uber, not to the mother animal. Tani the meha, change it to the meha, female, the mother. When it's the koin, the Bryce obligates him to pay the value of the damav, its value to the koin, because it's a bachar. Now, if we're talking about the mother animal who's not a firstborn koin, what's the koin doing in the equation? So we got stuck. Then we answered that really was a package deal. He gave the mother and the offspring, so he violated on account of transferring the mother, so he penalized him on the whole package as one. There was an expectant animal that he transferred to the guy to look after the mother and gain from its added value, to look after the offspring and gain from its demigod. But since we penalized him on account of the mother animal that he transferred in violation, we apply the constant Uber as well, but suppose it was merely an Uber, we're not sure, how Rabbi Yehuda would view it. Amar Rashi Tashma, here's the final raya. Rabbi Yehuda matar b'shvura. Rabbi Yehuda allows selling a shvura. Why? And he gives a reason. It's because there's no way for it to get back to the workforce. It's permanently injured. So people understand it's different. It's an exceptional case. It will not arouse confusion. However, if it's a situation where it's just temporary, you can recover. Also, it would be also, even though currently it's not it's working in a working state. Vainami and an Uber as well. Nothing inherently wrong with it. Yichalus Rabbis Dami. It's just a temporary inhibition. It's locked in, but soon it's going to be born and work like anybody else. And therefore, Shema Mino, we have a right that it's Aser, and that concludes our discussion. Okay, so bottom line. A firstborn donkey in the hands of Yisrael is chayiv in the pidyon petach hamor. But if there's a guy somewhat involved, somewhat of an owner, so according to the Chachamim, that's the reason for a patur, whether he's a part owner in the mother, part owner in the offspring, according to you, the part ownership is not a reason for exemption on the Yisrael's part. Then we sort of shift it to the halacha of not selling a heavy animal to a guy for concern that he's going to be working with it on Shabbos, etc. Rebbe gives an exception for the Shvura, and the Mesera allows the horse. Regarding the Ubar, selling an Ubar outright to a guy, we concluded that even Kuntar Yehuda, that would be Asur as well. Iboilo, now comes a new question on this topic. Machar Behemel Ubrihomai. A Yid owns a heavy animal, a bull, okay? Now he sells it to the guy, not to sell the actual bull, but a cow, a female, right? It's going to have the offspring. But he sold it to him, li'ubriho, for the sake of the offspring. So he gave him sort of an aspect of ownership, meaning the Yisrael is retaining ownership on the animal, but there's a certain aspect of ownership that he's forwarding to the guy, which is the rights to its offspring. Certain element of ownership, of rights in the animal, my. How would we treat this type of case? Is it forbidden? Just like you can't sell an animal, you can't sell them for the Uber as well. Or you can say, no, here it's different. Look, I'm not really selling the animal, it's just rights to the offspring. And let's realize, Rashi explains, it's not expectant yet, it's not carrying an offspring. So you're not really giving him anything tangible. You're just giving him the rights for future offspring. And then when they come about, Rashi says, fine, it's not my issue. Bershus, he says Ukshevayu, says Rashi, when that newcomer arrives, the offspring, Bershus Ovid Kichav Mehim Boim. It was generated in the hands of the guy. It's not my issue. It's not like I took, even according to the above conclusion that an Uber, right? You can't even transfer an Uber. That's because you already have the Uber. It's expecting, it's carrying, it's there, it's tangible. But here, it's not yet in existence. I'm just giving him futures, right? Future. I'm giving the right for future offspring. Perhaps that's okay. That was never included in the ban disallowing selling animals to Goy. That's the shot. Iboilo. Machar b'him l'ubriyama. He sold the animal for its offering. What's the halacha? Tiboy Rabbi Yehuda. Tiboy Rabban. It's really a pretty broad equation here. This question can be applied according to Rabbi Yehuda, who typically makes exception for injured and right unworkable animals, and it could also be posed according to Rabbanon, who don't make exception for injured animals, as explained. Tiboy the Rabbi Yehuda, the question could apply according to Rabbi Yehuda, because ad kan likasher Rabbi Yehuda el b'shvur, perhaps even Rabbi Yehuda only allows a broken animal. L'yas l'chlufe, because of its unusual state, nobody will mix it up with a regular animal and draw erroneous conclusions to allow selling an animal to a guy. But a whole healthy animal such as this one, people might confuse it and say, well, confuse it with a regular animal. If this is okay, then a regular animal is okay too. They won't necessarily understand the basis of this arrangement, the details of this transaction. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Asa, he would ban it. Or then what you can say? No. Umashvur de paska mine. Even by a shvura, injured animal which he's selling to the guy, which is paska mine, which totally disengages from the owner. The Yisrael is totally giving up ownership on that animal. He still allows it. Koshkin shlem is certainly in our case where it's a healthy animal, but duli paska mine. The animal hasn't really disengaged from the Jewish owner. He's still retaining full ownership on the actual mother animal. So maybe that's okay, maybe that's better. It's not even a sale. Okay, so that's one side of the equation. Contra Yehuda, that allows a shvura. What about this case? And likewise, to the Rabbanon, the question we pose according to Rabbanon, who make no exception for a shvura, how would they deal with this? Behema lubra. Ad kan lekamra asra rabbanon. El shvura, perhaps rabbanon only ban selling an injured animal to paskim b'nei because it's a full sale. In fact, is he's totally giving it away, so it's similar to a standard sale. Avo shlema le paskim b'nei, but in our case, the shlema, the healthy animal, that's just selling for its offspring, where there's no real disengagement from the owner, who's still retaining full ownership on the animal, sure, perhaps in this case, even they would allow. It's not really a sale. I do more you can say. No. Even by an injured animal, where it's plainly evident that this is different, it's injured, it's not a working animal, they still don't make exception. They want to keep things consistent and clear without exception. Certainly in our healthy animal case, where there's more room for confusion, they would not make exception. So that's our question. Says the Gemara. So, based on your presentation, it would seem that the reason why the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda's, you know, exception of the Shvura is because they're concerned with perception issues. That people, you know, the lay observer might confuse things. Is that the reason? Is that the reason why the Rabbanon don't allow exceptions for injured animals because of, you know, Maris Ha'ayin concerns that the innocent observer might not fully understand and might confuse things? Is that the reason about Tani? But in the following Bryce, it seems that there's a different reason for their position. Omer loy Rabbi Yehuda, the Chacham responded to Rabbi Yehuda who allowed selling an injured animal. V'alei mar bina levi yeledes. He says, you know, they say to him like this. Even though this animal in its current state is not capable of working, but they breed it, and it generates offspring. And ultimately, those offspring will be working on Shabbos. So it's not about the observer getting mixed up and, you know, misunderstanding and will come to confuse. It's a more technical, very direct concern that you're selling him basically animals. Although not in its current form, but ultimately it's going to breed and generate more animals, which will work on Shabbos. Apparently, their concern is based on the future offspring. Okay, so it would seem, apparently, seemingly, that in fact, our question of whether you can sell a behemoth or a breath for the sake of its offspring is actually the very pivotal point, the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon. So it would seem like we have our answer. Can you sell a behema l'ubrea? Come to Rabbanon, no. Come to Rabbi Yehuda, yes. So what's your question? Hachikanuli. Truthfully, the Rabbanon meant something different. Look, they turn to Rabbi Yehuda. You allow selling an injured animal. Time in the dam shem da'as l'achlufa behema. The reason why we object is because the observer might not get what's going on, and he sees a sale, he'll go and sell any animal. That's our position. But can you tell us what your position is? Why do you allow it? Right? Your answer is because this animal is permanently disabled, and presumably selling it for shchita, to be shechta, to be eaten, it's not going to last very long, and it won't be around long enough to be observed and to be a source of confusion. That's your position. Who says it's going straight to the butcher? Perhaps the guy will linger the animal around and have it breeded and produce with it offspring. Since you can do that, mashallah, he'll keep it around. It's going to be in his barn for 10 years going, and a yid might come around and notice it. Oh, that's Bessie the cat. That belonged to the yid. What's it doing here? Oh, you got to sell an animal to a guy. Why are you not concerned with that confusion? Amalu, Rabbi Yehuda responds, it's never going to happen. I worry about it when she gives birth. Meaning, like a zachar. this injured animal is not capable of breathing, with a zachar, and there's no concern of it lingering around. Presumably it's going straight to the butcher, and it's not going to be a source of confusion. Okay, so back to our question, which is at this point as yet unresolved. One may not sell a heavy animal to a goy. What about an animal for its offspring only? Tashma, we have a raya from our Mishnah. He transferred an animal to the goy, who received it as a kabbalah arrangement to raise it and to split the the profits. And interestingly, in contrast to the beginning of the Mishnah where it spoke about actually selling an animal or the offspring there, the uber, the Mishnah clarified by saying, well, you're not allowed to. But here it doesn't say that. Like Tony Afbishani Rashai, the Mishnah did not add this clause. You should know that this type of kabbalah arrangement is not allowed. From this apparent omission, we seem to have indication that it's okay. After all, he's not really giving over the actual animal. He's just giving it temporarily as a lease to look after and to generate offspring. And that was not included in the ban. According to your way of thinking, Hamashtatav Liktani. What about the case where he partners with a guy? So they pooled their money and they bought an animal. There's no mention of it being a problem, but really it is. Are you going to say that in this case it's allowed? Actually, there's a problem with partnering with a guy for a different reason. Shmuel's father told us, also Lord of Shiasa Shutfus, person may not become a shutf with a guy. Why? Maybe down the road the guy will run into some sort of disagreement, which will oblige him to make a shvua and a swear in the name of his idol. You're not allowed to do that. Not to cause a guy to mention the name of his avodah zarah. The Torah warns against that. Lo yishama al picha. Not only can't you say, but you shouldn't even cause a guy to say it on your behalf. So why doesn't the Mishnah dissuade us from partnering with a guy? Ela tana mechira v'adin l'shutfus. So you're compelled to say that the disclaimer that the Mishnah mentions regarding Mechira that you're not allowed to applies to Shutfus as well. It's implied. Achanami, the same can be said regarding Kablonis. Achanami, Tana Mechira, but in Kablonis. Although the disclaimer is only mentioned by Mechira, applies to Kablonis equally as well. So you're not allowed to transfer your animal to the Goy for the sake of generating offspring. Mishnah Mechira Donokets, why did the Mishnah choose to apply the disclaimer only to Mechira? Think of Mechira because that's the primary Isser. The Iker halacha was not to sell an animal to a goy for the reasons we mentioned. And sort of a subset of that is the is transferring in, under any circumstance in any arrangement. But so once the Mishnah mentioned it up there, they didn't see a need to repeat it over and over again, even though perhaps the same problem applies to Kabbalah. So back to the question, can you lease the animal to the goy to raise offspring? We're not sure. Here comes another right. Toshma. Here's that brisa yet again for the third time. Rabbi Da'im ha-makabal ha-himana k'chav mi-yolda ma'alese b'shavya yinat chazam b'koyin. So Yid is on the makabal arrangement from a goy, looking after the animal, raising the... So if there's a firstborn, it belongs half to the Yisrael. In which case, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the goy's element is not exempted, right? As we read the Shita, and he has to forward half the value to the Kohen. Case number two, if the goy is on the receiving end of the Kabbalah arrangement, he gave his own animal to the goy to look after and to raise, even though it's not allowed, penalize him up to 10 times the amount, and he has to forward the full value of the Bechar to the Kohen. Okay, so we discussed it twice already. Here's the Chacham's Shita, reiterating what they say in our Mishnah as well. If there's any element of goy ownership, that's a reason for exemption. Kol zman shiyad oigcham be'emtsa turim la'bechor. If there's any goy involved, any element of goy ownership in there in the mix, it exempts it from bechor. We turn to the next page. My lava behema. Presumably, when Rabbi Yehuda says we penalize him up to 10 times the amount, it's on the behema itself. He's got to get back the actual mother animal. So what do we see? That it was not allowed. Not allowed to forward your animal to the guy for the purpose of raising offspring. So we see that's not allowed. Right? Despite the fact that he didn't really grant him any element of ownership in the mother itself. It's just sort of a temporary hold for the offspring. Lo ya ubar, no. We're speaking that the animal was already carrying an Uber, and that was a no-no, because he's transferring the Uber to the guy, giving him part ownership. That's the issue. They cannot make tonic case. So, Bedomov, Venoisen called Domov the Kayin. Clearly, the Bryce is speaking about the offspring. It says you have to spend at least up to 10 times as much and transfer the whole value to the Kayin. Now, the mother animal is not a Bechor. Why would you give it to the Kayin? It must be that we're talking about the Uber was the firstborn. So, clearly, the focus of the Bryce is on the Uber. Shema Mino, that confirms that, in fact, that's the issue here. In which case, we're back to our question, which is as yet unresolved. Yeah, that's when he actually sells an actual animal to the guy and gives him ownership. That's troublesome. But if he's actually just giving the mother animal to the guy to look after and generate offspring, so the mother animal is still fully retained by the Yisrael, it's just that the offspring, which will come later, will by default revert to the guy's ownership in part. Is that us or not? We're not sure. We haven't really confirmed one way or the other. Okay, so bottom line, firstborn donkey has kedusha, must be redeemed. If there is any sort of element of goy ownership in the mother donkey or the offspring, kontra chachamim yipata, kontra buda, it is still, the Yisrael is still chayv on his part. Interesting that it will not have any kedusha, an inherent kedusha. Let's say if it's a firstborn kosher animal, it's not going to be a carbon because it's partly owned by the goy, which obliterates any kedusha. But in terms of monetary value, in terms of monetary obligation, Yisrael has to forward at least his portion of the value to the coin. Interesting concept here. Talking of which, we got to the whole discussion about the issue of selling an animal to a guy, the concerns about working on Shabbos, and Rebida makes exception for a Shvura, but Maseri makes exception for a Sus, and the question was, what about selling an Uber to a guy? And the answer was, it's also because it's like any other animal. There's no exception made for that. And what about selling a behema li'ubra for the ubarim that will come about later? Interesting question. What is Rabbi's opinion? What's Rabbana's opinion? At this point, we haven't yet resolved that question. To be continued. All the best to you, and atzlocha rabba.